sounds like something the cat drug out.
Are you out shopping again for food?
Yeah, I was, but that's not why I feel this way. I just feel like,
oh, exciting.
Yeah, I just left Gun Oaks.
I had some computer problems.
I'll say that.
Changed the output of the machine and it's putting out full steam.
Say that again?
WBP0 to the guy. Well, you been to Fairway already?
Yesterday, I think.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we went there a little early and got some stuff that's on sale.
Seems to be a popular thing for them to do. Anyway, you said you were leaving Glen Oaks?
Yeah, I'm on the parkway, heading back towards home.
Yeah.
Something broke? Say again?
I said, did something broke?
Yeah, but it ain't broken no more.
I hear that's a good...
Yeah, well, the computer I use to control everything got very unhappy. It also runs the ILP and some other stuff, so... It all happy again. It all Linux-y.
Mechanic breakage or software?
Say again, Steve.
I said a mechanical problem or software?
Well, I had a hardware problem. I bought a spare. And then it was all sorts of software issues. I didn't take too long.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah, it gets really weird when you write a program and you forget how you wrote it.
Where do they tell you to document these things?
I do, but that's in the computer at home and at work.
Well, big thumb drives are always a good thing.
Yeah, well, I remember to bring the USB key that had the whole ILP system on it, so it's just a matter of dropping it in and running it. I got this nice little script that I wrote that gathers everything and does all the hard work for you.
Yes, and you don't have to pound your fingers on them keys.
Yep, I only had to type one word, and then it took care of the thousands of other things it needed to do.
Yep. Anyway. Actually, I'm getting home. Got another couple of blocks to go, and I'll be there.
Alright. I assume you're floating around Huntington somewhere. Actually, it's funny that computer hasn't been rebooted in like 4 years now, or 3 years.
You couldn't do that with a Windows computer.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, Windows 7 or Windows 10. I don't know about 8, but they're both pretty stable platforms, so. We've got stuff that's been running for a year now and hasn't needed to reboot them yet.
Yeah, actually, 7 and 10 seem to be pretty stable. Oh, look at this. I'm on top of the hill near my house. It says 304 feet.
Say that again.
They said I was on top of the hill by my house, and my GPS says I'm 304 feet above sea level, now going downhill.
304 feet? I didn't think you... Well, maybe. I mean, that's... not quite as high as where the station is, but, and you know that the GPS altitude is only accurate to like 10%.
That's okay. By the way, if you take a look at called Plainview Road, right off of Jericho, you go about half a mile south, and it gets up to about 330 feet or so, I think.
Yeah, no, it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, don't forget, the hill runs east-west along various different parts of the island, so.
Indeed, I do. Anyway, I'm going to put this thing in the driveway. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe you will. Although it's Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, and public television is taking a rest.
There you go. Maybe I won't talk to you. See you later. WB2ZSA.
Okie dokie. Have a nice day. WB2ZSA. K2ZSA.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
FIU. KD2 FIU. KD2 FIU. WHCDL. Hello, George.
What's up, Andy? How are you doing?
Okay, I just heard you. Sorry. Came upstairs. I was on my way up anyway. Everything's good. Nice day today. Today was pretty good. A little chilly, but a little bit of work outside.
I had too much expectation. I woke up and saw about a half an inch to an inch on the property, and I said, you know, they said the temperature's going to come up. And it'll be gone. So it was a scraping or a sweeping's worth. And my expectations were too high. I looked out there this evening as the sun was going down. It was all still there. But that's okay. Expectations too high. Over to you, Andy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, at least it was a weekend. But, I don't think you're working anymore, right? You're retired now, is that right?
Well, the first one I left 13 years ago, and the second one I'm dabbling in and out of So I'm putting my time together to work on the house and work on my radio projects, basically antenna projects.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a never-ending battle or a never-ending thing, because you can always come up with another idea, another design, another configuration, especially when it gets warmer. So you have a lot of property?
If that's the drawback, and somebody's trying to jump in, negative on the question, drawback, and that's why I work on design a lot.
UA2PJF on frequency.
Leo, hello, happy new year, WA2CDO, how are you?
Good, how are you? Just very briefly, you haven't heard K2US on frequency, have you, with UPS on frequency? I wonder if UPS is operating tomorrow with the holiday.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's Martin Luther King's birthday tomorrow. I'm not sure. I know I heard him on like maybe a day or two ago, but I don't know.
Okay, it's a weekend. I have a number to call in the morning. I'm sorry for butting in, I apologize. This is WA2PJF clear. Have a good afternoon, be safe.
All right, I haven't spoken to you in a while. I just want to ask you, have you been? Everything okay?
Work. The Monday after Christmas and the Monday after New Year's, they took those national, they weren't even national, those were local holidays.
So do you think they're going to be operating tomorrow? Tomorrow's a national holiday, by the way.
Yeah, understood. Like I said, they didn't work what was the local holidays, and they didn't work that nationally, even though tomorrow's a national holiday, and, you know, Monday after Christmas, Monday after New Year's was local optional holiday. They were not operating then, because I was expecting packages on both of those Mondays. So, I don't know, I would err on the side of no, but check it out. It is a national holiday, as you said, KD2FIU.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they're not operating. I was just curious, like the U.S. mail, even though the post offices are closed, the mail still moves. And I was curious if UPS and FedEx, if merchandise, freight will keep moving, and only a matter of there's no deliveries. But I'm going to assume it's shut down. I'm waiting for an antenna tuner to come. It's supposed to come tomorrow, but that means it's going to be Tuesday. Okay, thank you so much. Be safe, both of you. WA2PJF clear.
All right, Vito, just ask you, it's been a long time. How you been? Everything good?
No, I'm not well, not getting any better. I have several issues, and they're not getting any better either. Even though I have different medications, different supplements, special foods I eat, I have several different doctors, some are holistic doctors working with me, and can't get them resolved. I have a urine problem, I have a heart problem, I have arthritis taking over my body as well. It's slowly creeping up and destroying me. So I have those three things I have to contend with, and like I said, they're not getting any better. If I make it to January 22nd, I'll be 73. If I get that far, I'll be a miracle. And that's how weak I am. But anyway, I'm carrying it through 1 hour at a time. Back to you, Andrew.
Oh, okay. No, you sound fine. All right. You know, hopefully things will work out. Come on more often. I guess you're on the HF bands, I would think, if you operate. I know you had an antenna problem. I know that was resolved. So that's good. Got that fixed up. All right, I'll let you go. Let me just say goodbye, and because it's been a while since I heard you on. And happy New Year again. We'll see you soon.
Okay, Andrew. Very well. Thank you for asking. You're concerned. Thank you very much. Yes, I do operate CW a lot on 20 and 40. That's my favorite. I don't operate that much 2 meters. So that's where I am on those two bands. You be safe. You're a gentleman as well. Thank you for the information. Happy New Year. You, sir, be safe. God bless you. And we'll talk again. Andrew, be safe. WA2PJF is clear.
Hey, Gambino. Nice hearing you again. Yeah, George. Back to you.
And hope to hear more. Hope to hear more of you on this band. Just for hello. Just for hello if you get a little bored. Take care now.
Thank you. Thank you. 7-3.
Okay. Yeah, George, back to you. How you doing?
Yeah, always busy. Always busy. You know, just came across a little antenna project work there that it wasn't just picking up the model of something to put together in books. It was an entire concept which had to do with the phased arrays, finding out so many ways that they can be done. What I'm going to do is go back to the original developers' formulas, and from there test and adapt it to the situation that I want to have it. And I'm looking to mono band it on 10 unidirectional east and west with a good 7 dBi in the attic, so to say, in the attic, and just to keep 10 alive as long as I can, 10 meters, that is. Over to you, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, 10 meters is a good band. I think the problem is the air conditions have not been that great. I'm not sure what the index, you know, the UV index rating is now. I hear some people talking about it. I didn't really pay close attention to what the numbers are. But I know the bands are so-so. I'm not sure how 10 meters is right now. Of course, 10 meters, when the band is open, it's really good. But when it's closed, it's closed. So, you know what's good? People use this, I think it's called Antron 99, comes to mind. I think that's an antenna that's popular for it to be used on a 10 meter band. I gotta look that one up. I believe it's a vertical. So, but, yeah. It's interesting. You can, there's so many different things you could do, like you say.
Well, Antron 99, I'm not a favorite of that. The design actually yields itself to the performance that a lot of people complain about in the amateur world. I'm not talking about AM 11 meters. In 10 meter amateur, you're dealing with a wire inside a fiberglass antenna with a tightly wound helical coil as the loading coil at the bottom. This design yields what a lot of amateurs complain about, is the fact that it's a high static, noisy antenna and a splash box of an antenna with RFI. For 10 meter vertical, I prefer metal either with a tuning rod or very, very wide open loop as a loading element or loading coil. So Amtron doesn't fit in. Right now I'm using a gap vertical for my 10 meters. That's the lowest that it's tuned for. And that's working very well. But I'm looking for a phased array bidirectional flat top beam with Dr. Krause's designs from early designs from 1937, and I found out there were so many different kinds of antennas that came from that that were designed from that, and I'm not able to land any individual projects as a recommendation. It seems that you got to put that together for your situation. Let me let that...
Repeater, time out.
Andy, where did it leave off?
No, you were perfect. It timed out just as you unkeyed.
Okay, what I'm finding is also the impedance matches, the different designs that came out of it, the different lengths of the phasing lines in between the two dipoles, the lengths of the dipoles, whether you're building it for multi-band or single band, all of this. There were so many different projects, and there are so many contradictions between the people that developed each of the projects. So I just realized I had to go back to the original engineering design and work my own by trial and error.
Okay. Yeah, it's WA2CDL. Yeah, I guess it, like you say, it could get a little bit complicated depending on what you want to achieve. And so when you say phased array, is that you want a you want to be able to adjust the directivity of the antenna electrically? Or, because I'm just a little bit confused with that. Or do you want to, you want to put a beam up with a rotor and you want to mechanically turn it? If you want to change the phase of it electrically, that's what it sounds like you want to do. Is that right?
No changes. Fixed. No changes electrically or mechanically. Bidirectional. With a 90 and 180 complete null. So that the bidirectional is completely open with a good 7 dBi gain and a full null on each right angle.
Okay, I have to visualize how you describe that, which I'm not doing right now. I have to digest that a little bit, of what you want to do. I'm just trying to think why you, that's why I'm hesitant. I'm pausing here. I really have to draw it out to see what you're talking about. What's your goal? You just want to, is this just a, oh, and let me just back up a second. You know, the tech net comes on in 45 minutes. You can ask Nick, of course, a few of these questions, but you have a gap antenna, you said, as a vertical. Which gap model do you have?
I have the Eagle. It was all I could fit on the property here. But to describe the pattern of the other antenna, picture a long number 8 with no waistline.
Yeah. Two lobes as a dipole will give off the broadside to the antenna, to the wire. Two lobes on each side. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, one lobe in each direction with a complete null at the 80 and 90 degrees, and close to 7 dBi. In certain circumstances, if the elements are built with the right lengths, you can bring it up to close to 10 dBi. If I get the first one working right, east and west, I'm going to build one north and south. Remember, this is all because of no property. This is attic.
Okay, but this is a monoband antenna, I'm assuming, right?
You can build a multiband, and now you're getting into different lengths, different phase line lengths, different element lengths, different phase line lengths, different wire, different impedance of wire to feed it, 50 versus 300 versus 450 versus 600 for feeding different lengths if you're getting into the multi-bands. and different matching networks, different tuning networks after your specific lengths of whether you're going 5300, 450, or 600 to it. There were so many variables going on, I just decided, go for it. Just go for it and start building one and see where I wind up.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's the way to do it. Just, you know, experiment. No, the reason why I'm asking is, are you looking for a specific gain of an antenna? That's what it sounds like, because it's in the attic and because you're limited to space. Do you want to make up the lack of space and the fact that it's in the attic for gaining the antenna, if you want something that performs better? And I'm assuming the antenna you're talking about is a single band, mono band antenna. Even though, like you say, you can make it for different bands. And you're going to be using it on one band, is that right?
The design I'm trying to achieve is for one band. But the same antenna and the same basic principle can be applied to make it a multi-band antenna, a 5 or 6 band antenna. Anyhow, I breezed this by on the net 2 weeks ago, and Dick was really good. He was really good about jumping into it with me, and he just said, this sounds very aggressive, and good luck, and keep us posted. There were no immediate answers to it. And since then, I learned about all the other different designs of antennas that were developed post this original formalization of outphasing the dipoles.
Okay. No, that's all right. I'm not getting into the technical aspect of it because I'm right now limited in that aspect. Without actually having myself look up information, you probably have some good books on it because you know there's maybe that's where you're getting some of the information from. There's a lot of good books out there that explains it, but I guess I just was curious about your objective. You wanted you just want an antenna that performs good. Unfortunately, the drawback is depends on the band conditions too. Even though you have a good antenna, but if you got a band that's dead, you're not going to get very far under certain conditions. And I'm talking about band conditions, so it was related to that. That, you know, that's just the way things are. Unless you try another band. But your Gap Eagle, how does that perform? Are you having good luck with that?
I've had a lot of luck with it, especially on 20 meters. Excellent performing antenna, and very durable. I didn't think it was going to deliver the way it did when I got it three years ago, something like that. It's beyond my expectation. Low angle on 20 is still performing very well as a vertical. Like I said, I'm trying to hang on to 10, and the only way to hang on to 10 is, you know, there'll be afternoons where you're getting somebody who has some directivity and gain, and you do still have, even at the low point of the cycle, you will still have some rare openings, and it's going to be somebody with gain and directivity, and that's why I'm going for that phased array, and it's small. I really can't fit anything bigger. I got wire to do it. Over to you, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's the advantage of the 10-meter band, because you're at the high end of the band. So your antenna dimensions, you know, will be physically smaller as opposed to something down on 75 or even 160. Right now, what I'm using here is basically a random length of wire which is strung between the trees on 75. I use it on 75 and connected to an antenna tuner. It's just a single piece of wire, and mainly because I had a problem with the feed point. It started out as a half wave dipole, and now it's become less and less over time, and I just haven't fixed it yet. So I used my antenna tuner to tune the antenna, and it works quite well. I'm having good luck with that. The band is it's been pretty good down on 75, even on 40 also, since I can tune it anywhere I want. So that works out. But I don't want to leave it this way. I do want to fix it up and reconfigure it. So you could if your Eagle is working the way you said it is, and the Eagle's Gap makes a good antenna product. The reviews that I've seen on EHAM for the Gap products, the Titan, the Eagle, and all the others are pretty good. So you got a good antenna there that works out fine.
Repeater, timeout.
Hold on, let me get the beep. All right, I'm listening to myself. That's how I know I time it. All right, so good luck with that. That's interesting. And it's always a challenge to build an antenna and play around and see how it performs. You know, there are some websites, and I don't have them handy, but I've seen this before. It was demonstrated to me. If you want to get an idea of how your signal sounds to a station, maybe even out of state, they have beacons set up on the internet where you can transmit your signal to his receiver where he is, and then you can hear it back on your computer. You can hear what you sound like. You get an idea of how well your signal is from point A to point B. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there are a couple of sites that offer that service.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. What would it be like talking to yourself? Oh gosh! But it, as a tool, it would be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're using software-defined radios, and they have it connected to the internet, so you could actually dial up their frequencies. Or go on their websites, dial up the frequency of their radio. You can actually take control of it.
K2UPS.
Hold on, I heard K2UPS. Stand by. Maybe Rich has an input on that. Rich, you there?
Yeah, I've been trying to get in, and I forgot about how I can announce my call there. K2UPS mobile. Currently in Ohio, near Cleveland. I just wanted to get in to Don. I know the other day he had spoken to Bob OSR, and he had mentioned the EasyMix program, and he was going to look into getting that. I have it, but I just wanted to let you know it is not a very user-friendly interface. You really have to know how to use the program. You can't just boot it up, put in some data, and expect to get results. You got to understand how the program works and how to make it do what you want it to. It's a very powerful program, but it's not an easy program to pick up just by looking at it. And I would strongly recommend, I think there's a couple of basic instruction books about the EasyNIC, that if you get the program, get a book with it, and that could help you a lot, Don.
Let me clarify. You said Don. Is this related to the conversation we were just having, Rich? I'm a little bit confused.
Yes, and I apologize if I got the other station name wrong. It was KD2FIU. I thought it was Don, but maybe I'm wrong. But I know he was talking the other day with the phased array antenna, that he wants to put up in the Vatican.
That's tip
on that, and I think I'm going to go ahead with my project experimentally first. And if I lose it, I'm going to go with that. But thank you for that tip. So EZ, it's not EZ, so to say.
That's correct. I just wanted to warn you of that. You know, not that it's not a good program. It's a great program and very powerful. But it's not, you know, where you just can boot it up and put the data in and click it. You know, you got to kind of understand and be able to interpret the results it gives you. But you can save a lot of time and effort by modeling it on the computer. And when you're doing it right, you can get results that you can then duplicate in the real world with extremely close to the same results that you got on your computer. So, go ahead, Andy.
Okay. Very good, Rich. And that's George, by the way. That's why I was confused. I'm talking to George. KD2FIU is George. All right. I thought you came in regard to what I was telling George about websites you can go to where you could listen to yourself coming through a receiver from another station that's located sometimes out of state or local or what have you. I mean, it was demonstrated to me, and I haven't played with it, but it is interesting that if you want to hear what you sound like and get an idea of the band conditions in that instance, you could tune in, go to the website, tune into the frequency that you're that he's receiving on, or sometimes you can take control of his receiver and tune it to the frequency you're transmitting on, and you can transmit and if the band condition's right, you'll hear yourself, get an idea as a tool for establishing a baseline for band conditions, propagation, and how your antenna is working. So there are sites for that. That's what I thought you were talking about, instead of the actual antenna modeling program. All right, I'm going to sign because I got to finish up. You guys continue, and George, good luck with your project. It sounds like it's a good one. Rich, back to you. I'll give it to you first. KQPS, and by the way, let me drop a second. Vito was looking for you before, Rich. WA2, all of a sudden I forgot his call. PJF, WA2PJF, he was calling you before to let you know, Rich. 73, and have a good time in Ohio. WHCDO.
Okay, Andy, thank you. And yeah, I always remember Vito's call as Port Jeff Ferry. So that just popped into my head the first time I heard his call, and so I remember it. I'll be listening to the TechNet, so maybe I'll catch him later on, and thank you. And I'm sorry about getting your name wrong there, George. I don't know where I got Don from, but yeah, some of those sites I've used is one called the Reverse Beacon Network. It only works on CW, but it's an amazing program. You can, even if you don't know CW, if you can program the key on your radio to send, you know, say CQ, 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 BE, KD2FIU, KD2FIU, and then you can put test after it if you want, just so people maybe think it or understand your testing, and give it even less than a minute, 15, 20 seconds. And when you log into the Reverse Beacon Network and then look for your call, it will give you a listing of all of the stations around the world that heard you, how strong a signal they heard you with, and how far above the noise level you were. That's a very powerful one. But Andy was right. There are some other sites, too, where you can listen, where guys have their receivers or software to find radios hooked up to the Internet, and you can make transmissions and listen to yourself in real time from their antenna at their location. And that's it's kind of weird when you first do it, but it's a good tool. Go ahead, George.
That's interesting. And the word here, which is key, Rich, it's a tool. It's a tool. And all joking around, like I said, at that point, you're talking to yourself. Jokingly, I'm saying that. but it's a tool. It's a tool to get an idea. And I don't know if it's available for phone, but also you can learn not only about your signal strength, but about how to fix any audio. I don't mean a hum or a degraded portion of audio problems, but I'm talking about audio bandwidth, whether you need a little bit more high or a little bit more low, depending upon your voice or you know what I'm saying, not whether or not you have a trouble with your audio, but what you can do to enhance it to make it further. I'm sure that's available, but excellent tool, Rich. K2UPS, KE2FIU.
Like I said, the RBN or reverse speaker network, that is strictly for CW only. But the other ones, the stations where you can tune into them, and there are, I have a couple different apps on my cell phone even that I sometimes I listen to when I'm driving. I can tune into a station in Italy or Germany or Russia or Japan, depending on who's on at that moment. Listen to what he's hearing, and usually they have one or more bands available. And not only can I listen to it, but I can change the frequency. So I can say, if I want to listen to CW or phone, I can tune into, say, 7.225, and then turn a virtual dial, you know, rotating your finger around on the screen of the phone, and you'll actually be tuning that guy's receiver to change it to be what you want to listen to. So it is kind of neat to hear what the band sounds like in other parts of the world. At the same time, you're hearing what you're hearing here. But antennas, especially wire antennas, they're a lot of fun to play around with. It's not expensive to do it. And you just experiment and see what works.
That's the goal, Rich. That is the goal. To me, that is a good part of the thrill. Maintaining the contacts, meeting all the people, everything like that, but at the same time, trying to be creative. And the antenna area is just so wide open in the room to be creative like that. So I got a few things to do, and I want to be listening on the net a little bit later, half an hour from now. And I'm going to bail out and get a few little personal domestic things done over here. Thank you for jumping in. And 73 Andy, I didn't get to say goodbye to you. K2UPS, KD2FIU, this is George. I'll catch you later, Rich.
All right, 73 George, get to during the net. K2UPS Mobile, near Cleveland, Ohio.
November 7, Echo Charlie Victor, standing by for net.
N7ECV, you got another 26 minutes to go. It'll start up at 8 o'clock. K2UPS.
Yeah, fine business. This time must be a little more valuable by seconds and minutes over there in New York than it is up here in the cold Northwest. We got plenty of it to go there, over.
Yeah, well, our weather's been up and down. It's been up in the 60s, and then like a day or two later, it'll be down in the 20s with snow. And I wish it would just stay one way or the other for a little while, but when it slingshots back and forth, it's a little tough to deal with. Everybody gets sick, but I'm out on the road. Travel all over pretty much the Northeast between New York, Chicago, and on the weekends I go down to Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I'm heading home, back to New York now. We left Louisville around 5 minutes after 3 this afternoon. So I got I had to go out to Melville on Long Island and then all the way out to Farmingville, about three quarters of the way out on the island, and then go back to Queens before I'll be done tomorrow morning. So the roads are dry, although it's cold, 32 degrees. So we'll see what it's like the rest of the night.
Well, if it stays cold, then at least the roads will be a little sticky, I would imagine. so that'll be a good thing. Seems to me that my noise suppression that I've checked on my input for my node has caused my noise to maybe get a little bit louder on my signal. But I think that's only heard through the node. I don't know. I'm tied in so many silly ways right now. I just need to let it be and let the link or the net happen for the evening. I used to listen to these things a long time ago, and I've always enjoyed them, so I'm bringing the link in. We're up in Washington State there, over.
Okay. Yeah, well, I see you checked in with both the tablet and the link. Echo link is fun, particularly for me. I don't normally bring any ham gear out here in the truck with me. Even though it's a dedicated truck and it's just my partner and I that use it, other people are in and out of the truck, you know, fuelers, washers, mechanics, that sort of stuff. So, plus, it's kind of a rough ride for anything on the dash. I don't feel like busting up any of my rigs. But I use the Echo Link, which is great for keeping me in touch with my friends back in New York. I don't really use it too much for talking elsewhere. It's when I'm away to talk back home again. But I do sometimes bring a QRP-HF rig with me. And when I'm in Chicago for a few hours, I'll set it up on the back with a telescopic fiberglass mast and do CW for a while, pass the time waiting for the train.
Well, I'd be curious as to what kind of QRP rig you're running out there. I'm wanting to get into soda work, and I'm running the tablet, so my transmissions go across locally, across the link as well, so people can at least hear some kind of activation for one, and I know it does cause a little bit of issue when I'm local on a handheld talking on my link, and somebody might want to be keying in. So this way they can hear the whole conversation locally, which is about the only reason why I go that route. But yeah, I definitely would be really interested in hearing about your QRP setup here. We got about 20 minutes there. Go ahead.
Okay, the UPS mobile. Yeah, no problem, Sean. My name is Rich, by the way. Well, you can probably see it on your screen. I have the Eliquip KX3. And I've had it now, I guess, about 5 years, and absolutely love that radio. I sold a bunch of other gear to get it, and I am not unhappy in any way. It has far exceeded anything I thought it would do. It continues to amaze me that such a hot receiver in it. But I know a lot of the guys that are getting into the soda activations and backpacking are going for the new KX2, which is like half the weight and half the size. And, okay, so it doesn't have 160 meters in it, but I don't think many guys climbing to the top of the mountain are going to be activating 160. So, you know, size and weight is an issue, then definitely go for the KX2. But I love the KX3. Friday, I try to get out at least once a week, but it's actually been a few weeks since I've been out doing portable work. I try to get down to the beach near me or a local park, and I finally decided last Friday it was a decent enough day to get out. So I met a friend of mine at a local park that has an elevation to it, and I set up and I had a really nice chat with a gentleman and some friends who were down in North Carolina, and he was using a K1, and he was also out in the local park. He was running 4 watts, I was running 5 watts, and we probably had a nice 15-20 minute Q-tow on CW.
Yeah, satisfactory. N7ECV Washington returning. And Eliquip's a nice little rig. I don't know too much about the K2, I don't think. And I think it does RTTY or PSK31. I know it's got some kind of reader. I wonder if it does a CW reader as well. It is a pretty neat rig. I've been looking into the Mike Charlie HF, MCHF. There's a kit out of one country. I can't. It's an M0 something or another. Looks like Wonka or Monka, M0ONKA, something like that. M0NKA. He's got a kit out, just an SDR radio. I don't know if you've seen them or not. They're fairly neat. They've got the scope and everything on them. It's like having a little pocket. And it's built about the size of the Eliquip. I think that's about the only way it's really modeled after that thing. And then there's a Chinese company that's actually putting them together and selling them. You can pick them up for about $500 right now. I don't even know if they isolate the boards or anything like that. That'd be my question. Let me let it drop real quick there, Rich. My only question is about the other craft, if their boards are isolated or if it's a single board, and then if it's reading any of the digital modes of the CW. And then your antenna too, you said something about you running a mast, so I'm assuming maybe you just throw a wire and a vertical up there. Go ahead.
The antenna question first. I usually use an N-fed wire, about 29, 30 feet long. The mast is 31 feet long, jackite, fiberglass pole, and I can attach that with bungee cords to a stake in the ground, to a small tree, to a picnic table. Usually I just tie it to the spare tire on the back of my Jeep, and then I feed it at the bottom with a 9-to-1 matching transformer, and that loads up on 42.6 meters, although I've never made any contact on 6 yet, with no trouble at all. Get out like gangbusters with that thing. So that works out quite well. And yes, both the KX3 and KX2 will decode CW PSK31, and the, I don't know about the KX2, but the KX3 will do PSK31 and PSK64, or 60, the double speed one, as well as RIDI. And it scrolls it across the screen in ASCII, so you can read it. And then if you know Morse code, using the attached iambic paddles to the radio, you can send your response or your CQ or whatever in Morse code. The radio translates it into either RIDI or PSK and sends it out. So you do not need another computer with you. A PSK31, you can read. It's not that fast that it doesn't scroll past, but the when you double it up to, I don't know if it's 62 or 64, that goes behind the screen. You're only seeing one line at a time at about 15 characters. So it's very easy to miss something at the highest speed, but it does work that way. The Chinese radios, I am not impressed with at all yet. I think it's still a lot of money for not good quality. You know, typical Chinese stuff, filtering isn't good, receiver isn't all that hot. Some guys happen to like them, but I think they haven't had a chance to compare it to something that really does work well. The ACU-817 is a great little radio for portable use. I personally don't like it only because the display is so small. I have trouble reading. The Yellowcrest has a much bigger display. But the 817 also has 2 meters and 440 built in, all mode. So you can do 2 meter CW if you want, 2 meter sideband when you get up on the mountain. But there are just some good options there. It's a fun activity to get involved in.
Yeah, fine business, Rich. Thanks for your input there on the QRP stuff, especially on the antenna as well. You said 9-to-1 transformer. I'm wondering if you can clarify, because my brain's thinking either Balun or Unhun at the end there. Go ahead.
Well, it would be an un-un, because you're taking an unbalanced coaxial feed line and going to a single wire, which is also unbalanced. A Balun goes from a balanced antenna, like a dipole, to unbalanced feed line, or vice versa. So that's how you can kind of figure out what that is. And basically, by using that, an N-fed wire, depending on the band that you're using, the impedance can be as high as 2,000 ohms or more. So with the 9-to-1 matching transformer, it brings the maps closer to what most internal antenna tuners will handle. And as far as antenna tuners, the one that you can get internal to the KX3 and the KX2 will handle up to a 20-to-1 SWR. Now, you don't really want to necessarily run a long length of coax at SWR that high, you're going to have a lot of losses. But if you're talking about doing a SOTA operation, you don't even need coax. You just get a BNC binding post adapter that you flip on it, and now you have two like banana plugs. You can put a wire in each half of it and toss one into a tree or a bush, and the other one lay on the ground as a counterpoise. So you have zero coax. So even if it is a 20-to-1 mismatch, the tuner will handle it, and you'll get out like crazy. You know, I've had people almost get into arguments how inefficient the antenna that I'm using is. And I'm like, well, it might be inefficient, but I'm still making contacts. I got a logbook full of contacts all over the world. I don't have to spend a lot of time fiddling with it. You know, that antenna goes up 5 minutes or less, and I'm on the air, and I have more operating time.
That's what I'm talking about right there, efficiency. And then it really, I guess, with that rig, we got a couple minutes here. Does that rig have some type of protection then? I mean, as you said, the tuner handles a certain amount there, but does the rig have any type of overload protection to help protect it? It's a bit of a final there, too.
KTUPS Mobile. I believe it does. I mean, I wouldn't want to put it at full power, which is if you give the radio 12 volts or between 12 and 14 volts input, it'll produce between 10 and close to 15 watts out. The internal batteries will just give you 5 watts. I usually only operate at 5 watts. Very rarely do I find a need to go up to 10. Just drains the battery faster. So, and it's not going to make that much difference on the other end. So if you're not hearing me at 5, 10 ain't going to make it much better. But there is some protection in it. But like I said, I would not want to transmit into nothing, you know, key down for too long. But the tuner works amazingly well. It's very fast. I've loaded up stop signs, the wiring in the truck trailer, park benches, all kinds of stuff, and it's amazing what that thing will let the radio put power into and radiate.
It sounds like Jeep should partner with those guys, man. N7ECV. All right, Rich, that was satisfactory information. I appreciate that. Very fine business. We're going to step aside here for the net. We're up in the Yakima Valley. Hopefully we'll get a few stations listening in. I appreciate the input, N7ECV.
Okay, sure, no problem. And if you go to QRZ and look up my QRZ page, it has photographs both of my work truck, but it also shows my portable gear, the mast on the back of the Jeep, and a small black camera bag that the radio and everything I need to operate goes in there. I have some large nuts that I went to Home Depot that'll fit on, like, I don't know, like I say, a 3/4-inch threaded rod. I keep two or three of those nuts in the bottom of the bag, pieces of weights, and then I have a spool of dental floss, and then just some wires, and I can put the weight on the end of the dental floss, toss it into the tree, and then pull a wire up. But it just fits on like one of those fanny packs. So I don't need a lot of gear to go out and have fun for the day. So, but you certainly can't go wrong with Elecraft. Look also, like I said, the Acer 817. And some others. I would tend to stay away from the Chinese radios right now. If you're going to spend $500, I'd rather see you buy like a used ICOM 703 or something like that. That'll work better. So, but enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And if you do any of the soda stuff, there are pages you can go to notify people when you're going to be there and try to make contact when you're up top of the mountain somewhere. Okay, to UPS. We'll catch you during the net.
KD2MSD, just wanted to see if I'm hitting this repeater with audio this time.
Yeah, you're making it okay. KD2UPS.
That's great, thank you. I was using a rubber duck before in the basement. It's not working, but I stuck my mag mount to the ceiling grid, and it's working apparently.
Okay, hey, when you're trying to use an HP in the house, either with a rubber duck or a mag mount, yeah, you have to wait like for the repeater to transmit and keep moving around until you find the best signal. And as Dick has mentioned, that may not necessarily be the best signal to get into the repeater, but it'll give you a pretty good idea about where you need to be. And sometimes moving it 2 inches one way or the other, you'll either make it full climbing, 2 inches to the right, you won't make it at all. But you got to play around, but you got a spot now.
I guess I just got lucky, but it happened to be good for receiving, so I was hoping I was going to make it transmitting it.